Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Wrestling Soup post day one pay-per-view or streaming thing. Whatever they're referring to these as now. Wow. All right, well, it's just me again. Don't worry. I'm here. I watched this kind of. I tried to... I stayed coherent, I should say, while this was going on, or at least... I mean, I was by myself, so I was somewhat coherent in my mind. Like, I bet if I had to talk to somebody, it would have made sense, but... Hoo-wee. Oh my god. Yes, for those wondering, Mish is still not feeling so great. He is doing better. He is feeling better, so I can pass that information along. I can pass along a little bit of good news on that end. But I talked to him earlier. I was texting back and forth with him earlier, and he's just saying his voice just still sounds off. He still doesn't sound good. I'm guessing he's probably having a little bit of a harder time, you know, catching his wind, if he's got the fucking whatever it is, whatever he got sick with. It's you get fucked up, you get the flu. Trust me, I've tried to do these shows fucked up when I was sick and when I was recovering from COVID, and not easy. Once again, still, we don't even know if it was COVID that Mish is dealing with, but you know, who the hell knows. Everybody and their grandmother's apparently getting it now, literally and figuratively, so I don't know. But anyways, all right, back to the topic at hand. Day one. So, WWE, when they announced this pay-per-view, I don't know what the intention was. I think maybe the general idea was, you know, it's the first day of the year. Fresh start, right? Isn't that how people usually treat the first of the year? Or supposedly some people do, where they pretend that they do, where, you know, they go to the grocery store and they buy the healthy shit, or they go to the gym, and they wear their new shoes. They wear their I'm exercising shoes for the first time in 6 months or whatever. I mean, I guess you could blame COVID still for that, but whatever. Yeah, it's because that's the first. That's it. It's the first day of the year, new year, new you. Well, for WWE, it's a new year because you know you can't stop time. You know what I mean? Time just keeps on rolling. It keeps going along, as they say. As many folk songs have told us the tale of time. It keeps on rolling on, but there's one thing that stays the same. And it's that WWE has completely become, God, not even... I'm trying to find the right term for it. It's not like they've become a... what's the right word here? It's not even... They don't resemble themselves in any way, shape, or form to what they did even 5 years ago. It's quite unwatchable. I mean, it's real, real bad. And I know people tune into these post-pay-per-view shows, and the majority of the time, what they expect from me is exactly what they get, which is more often than not is me going, oh boy, this wasn't particularly good, or maybe I'm a little bit too hard on certain people or certain matches, and that's kind of the nature of the show. Or it can be when it comes to these post-pay-per-view shows, because a lot of the time, if you listen to the regular Soup shows, the Franks and, you know, the Frank and Gus shows, it's a lot more lighthearted, or, you know, sometimes we get into serious shit, but a lot of the times with the pay-per-views, I'm watching it, and I'm being, I have my critical eye on, okay? Mish gets to be the good cop, and I'm typically the bad cop. But if these shows keep going like this, if these WWE, you know, pay-per-view type shows keep being this, I don't know. Let me tell you, you're going to have a lot of Denzel Washingtons running around. There's going to be a lot of bad cops, all right? Because this shit is not good. This is not good. It's bad and it goes on forever. And buddy, I'm telling you, I know I've been saying this for quite some time, but WWE and their time management issues are, wow. I mean, just, I don't know what happened. I mean, there's so many different theories that people float around in the wrestling sphere of what happened. What happened to wrestling in the past half dozen years? Why has it become what it's become in the sense of you watch these incredibly long-winded, unenjoyable shows that are just repetitive and redundant? Like, what is it? Is it a chicken egg thing? Like, is it one of those situations where it's like, did a fan base get bad before wrestling, or did wrestling get bad before the fan base? But what I think it ultimately is you're dealing with so people now that are further and further removed from a time where any of it really just made sense, where the focus was it being fun. And shows like this are just not fun to watch. So I guess I'll get right into it. Okay, so we start out with the pre-show match, which starts at 7:30 at night. Because, you know, we weren't going to have a long enough night ahead of ourselves, so we started 7:30 at night. And your opening match was Cesaro and Ricochet versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Which, by the way, this guy, Ridge Holland, who I've not really seen much of, naming him Ridge Holland, this just sounds like, I don't know, some sort of fucking hotel. Like, sounds like, I don't know. It's just not, it doesn't sound like a wrestler. It doesn't sound like a human. Like, are there any humans named Ridge? Anybody go to school with a Ridge? Like, this is a man's name? I thought it was a, isn't that a piece of, what's the word I'm looking for here? That's fucking, not agriculture. I don't know. Give me a break. I've had my fucking brain off watching this bullshit for 3.5 hours. It just, it's not good. So the match gets going along, and Cesaro and Ricochet, and Ricochet still has to do his spots because that's what Ricochet does, and that's what Ricochet always has to go back to because that's his bread and butter. So Cesaro does a little flippity-do onto old the Ridge Holland Inn's face. All right, like he tries to do like the 450 where he, you know, I'm going to grab you and I'm going to give you the old boost. And Ricochet straight up just crushes this. All right, it's not funny. I've had my nose broken a handful of times, so it hurts. It sucks. It's not good, but Ricochet straight up just tap dances right on this fucking guy's nasal cavity. It's bad. Like, really viciously. Watch it back. If you see what happens, it's not even like it's like his knee or, you know, his ankle hits him or anything like that. Straight up foot mushed him. Just mushes his whole face and breaks his nose, completely fucks him up, right? So they, of course, because it's WWE in 2022 now, the guy, they can't just, you know, stuff up his nose and send him back out. Good heavens, no. They can't do that. Have him lay on the apron, figure out some sort of shit for him. So this guy now disappears. He's gone. All right, by the way, Penny, like, you gotta go, kid. You're fucking driving me nuts here. I love you, honey, but you gotta go. Please. I'm trying to do something. Ugh, fucking Christ. Yeah, so this guy, because it's WWE 2022, they just, okay, get him out of there. Now, this leads to a situation that makes negative amounts of sense, where now you have the baby faces going two-on-one when Sheamus is the heel. Now, accidents happen. Shit happens. You know what I mean? Like, we see this kind of stuff. But this might have been one of those moments where you do the old, you know, the guy rolls out of the ring, let's say, gets his fucking face broken, okay? And he starts kind of going up the ramp or whatever, and then you send one of the guys after him and pretend like they're brawling up the ramp or whatever. Turn it into a one-on-one affair at that point, especially, like I said, when it's baby faces and heels. So now the brave and strong babyface Sheamus overcomes the odds, or has to overcome the odds, against Cesaro and Ricochet, the two vicious heels in this scenario, which this then leads to, what, a good 10, 12 minutes? But this happens and it keeps going. Like, it just keeps on going. Now, what could have potentially have made sense here is Ridge Holland, you know, gets... God, I can't even say this, fucking idiots. Ridge Holland. So, Sheamus's tag partner gets his face broken, let's say. Sheamus should have gone out there and kind of followed him, been like, oh, what is going on, blah, 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 blah. He rolls back into the ring, feeds into something. Sheamus gets rolled up, bang, one, two, three. Then you continue on with, you know, Sheamus, I was cheated, my partner, and, you know, Ricochet broke his nose on purpose, that Ricochet's a bad... So, instead of another, what, 10 minutes of, you know... By the way, I'm not shitting on Sheamus in this scenario either. Sheamus has been good. I never thought I'd be saying that on this show in the dozen years I've been doing it, but Sheamus has become a brighter point in this company, which is either a testament to his improving or their rapid, just vicious decline to where now Sheamus is becoming one of the best guys on the show. All right, I did the solo show. I did the coughing gimmick. That was me fucking around. But, like, I felt a little sick saying that. I didn't feel good. That didn't come from a good place. Me saying Sheamus is now one of the best guys on the show because so many people are absolutely awful on this show. So anyways, like I said, babyface Sheamus overcomes the odds and beats Cesaro and Ricochet, who at this point, Cesaro and Ricochet should probably both just, I don't know, be glad, I guess, that they have a match, maybe? I don't know. Like, how should you feel about that? If you're Cesaro, or if you're Ricochet. I mean, Ricochet, whatever. Ricochet seems very content with just being a fucking bum. But if you're Cesaro, and you're 6'5", and you're fucking jacked, and you're really, really goddamn good, and they say to you, like, oh, don't worry, Sheamus is going to beat both of you. That's how low you are. You're that low. And it's not, if I remember correctly, it was clean, too. Wasn't a cheat. It's just fucking, there it is, broke kick, right? I don't even remember. It was 3.5 days ago. Yeah, so clean as a sheet, fucking guy loses. None of this is considered. None of this is thought of. No one cares. No one thinks about these guys in any sort of way, like preserving them, or what are they going to do going forward? Because whether the audience, you know, notices it outright, they're still putting it in their head that Cesaro and Ricochet are the type of guys that are such fucking wusses that they get beat by one guy. You know what I mean? Like, they lose a handicap match as baby faces. Heels can kind of do that. They can lose maybe a handicap match every now and then because they cheat and they do stupid shit and it's a big pop and it's a yippity-doo-dah. But in this scenario, it just makes you look like a fucking dickhead. And it makes both of them look like dickheads. And yeah, not good. So this was a start to the night. Let's just call it that. It was a start, all right. So now we go on to the main card. All right, and in the first opening match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, you have a... By the way, what was the name of the pay-per-view again? Day one. Clean slate. Something new, something fresh, something we've never seen before. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's the Usos versus the New Day. The Usos versus the New Day. In a, what was this? A best out of, best of 500 series? I mean, how many matches have these tag teams had? It's unbelievable. It's unreal how many times these guys have had matches. And yes, I get why. Because by the end of this, which by the way, I think it went, what, about 36, 37 minutes? There was about 10 false finishes or so. Murphy and, you know, kicked out of everything. So yeah, it was like a 35-minute long opener with everything under the sun being kicked out of, everything happening. By the way, this is just still something, like whenever anybody now brings up anything that happens in AEW, and unfortunately this week and going forward when I see shows like this, I have to defend AEW. Like I just do. As much as you could label me or anybody could put the tag on me that I'm some guy that just thinks fucking AEW is the worst thing on earth, when this is their competition, it looks great in comparison. Like, I've never had a Jersey Mike's sub. I haven't. I've never eaten one. But by knowing how shitty Subway is, if you were to just ask me, is Jersey Mike's subs better than Subway? I'm going to just go, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't eaten anything off the menu, but Subway is so fucking gross and tastes like plastic and gives me diarrhea looking at it. I can only assume that Jersey Mike's is better. And that's kind of where we are right now, where WWE will just give you diarrhea. So AEW gets to be delicious. It's not even delicious. It just gets to be Jersey Mike's subs, which is just a slightly better. Maybe the bread doesn't taste like glue. Sometimes the bread doesn't taste like glue. So what we have is another tag match between two teams who, I mean, they're good teams. The New Day are a good team. The Usos are good teams. But like, what? Every time now it's 30 something fucking 40 minutes just goes and goes and go. Guys, go out there and have a good match in 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Just do that. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if they're even capable. Like, these are talented guys, but I'm starting to not believe that they're capable of doing that. Which maybe they can. Maybe they can. But you got to start doing it. Go out there and have a good match. 10 minutes, 15 tops, please. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. To where it's not, you know, all right, so it's minute 30. Time to start getting going. This is the opener. Once again, this is the goddamn opener. So after this big, you know, this is awesome chance and the crowd getting into it, because the crowd's now been there for like maybe an hour, not even. So they're ready to rock, you know, they're ready to roll. And once you give them everything under the sun, they go, all right, that was it. I'm full. And I don't know, man. So the Usos end up winning the match, which is good, I guess. I don't know. The Usos still like their heels, but they come out and they do a bunch of face shit, and the crowd kind of treats them like they're faces anyways, but they look like faces, they work like faces. I don't know. It's so fucking lost. There's so many people in this company that are just completely fucking lost. I don't think they know what they're supposed to be. I don't think anybody that's talking to them has a vision of what any of them are supposed to be doing. And that's where you end up with this. Oh yeah, go out in an opener and have a 35 fucking minute long match. I don't know.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know I'm just saying that over and over again, but it's beyond me why this continues to go on. So, yeah, the Usos retain. The big babyface heel tag team holds on to their championship. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. So we go on to the next match, and it begins with a promo by Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin, who, by the way, the announcers having to call them Happy Corbin. Like, we can't come up with anything other than happy for him. There's no, like, this is how much we're in a sewer with creativity. That he's just happy. Why is he happy? Because he's rich. Is this real? This is it? This is the depth of the character work on the show? He happy. He rich. He happy. He have money. He rich. Are you fucking kidding me? This is where we're going to fucking be. In any sort of creative context. Dude, if you sit down, I don't know how many people that are listening to this right now that are parents, but they've had to sit down and like help their kid write a paper, let's say. And if your kid was writing a paper and they're just like, how did this man feel in the book? And they were like, happy. And they're like, well, what happened when this happened? They felt happy. You'd be like, we got to work on your vocabulary. Like, we got to build your vocab. We got to build you up here because this is redundant. You got to have a little bit of a higher order of thinking. We're trying to work on skills here for you to become a better writer, for you to function better. And these are people that are paid to be writers, and they have a character whose name is Happy Corbin, and nobody sees that as weird. But then again, I guess when like I said, you have names like Ridge Holland and then Madcap Moss. Who, Corbin and Madcap Moss are doing jokes in the ring, and it's like purposefully dad jokes, I think, and they're laughing at their own shit, and I can't tell if they actually think it's funny or they're mocking the writers for making them say it, but it's odd and unsettling. And it's just, is this supposed to be entertainment? I you can't tell. And by the way, the guy Madcap Moss, for some reason, is like jacked. The dude's pretty fucking yoked. And he's out there and he's dressed like Gallagher for some reason. I don't know why he's wearing bright red suspenders. He looks like some mix of Gallagher and a groomsman in a very casual wedding. Where people are like, yeah, it'll be really funny. All my guys are going to wear suspenders. And, you know, and this is what this guy's out here wrestling in. Like, dude, I get it. You got to hide, you know, Corbin under a business casual burka so nobody notices that the guy looks like shit. But this guy is absolutely fucking jacked. And he's out there and I don't get it. He's dressed like fucking Pee Wee Herman. So out comes the Happy Corbin and Pee Wee Herman. And followed by, of course, everybody remember Drew McIntyre? Remember that guy? Remember him? He's still there, 6'5", jacked, did everything they told him to do. Pretty good wrestler. I mean, really, he'll bust his ass, right? And he comes out with his sword, right? And he's, you know, he comes down to the ring, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, is this the day where he actually uses the sword? Can this please be the day where he uses the sword? And then the headline reads, wrestler goes off the script and uses sword against opponents in quotations before turning the sword on himself. Because this is what this man's life is now. Is he goes out there and he has to have matches with cartoon characters named Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. And by the way, this isn't like a little squiggity squash match either. It's not going out there. It's not, you know, he comes out and he's fucking glistening with the hair and the look and and then he just beats Madcap Moss's ass in like a minute. This match goes on for at least 10 minutes because why not? Like, why wouldn't the cartoon character beat up a guy who's like a legitimate championship material guy? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't the guy whose entire gimmick is being a silly shithead that has been on TV for what, 5 minutes now at least? Like, why isn't that guy competitive in this scenario? Fuck, it's so fucking bad. It's so bad. So mercifully, this match ends and Drew McIntyre wins, as he should. This match should have gone on for, like I said, a minute and a half. He should have gotten in there. By the way, the guy Madcap Moss is like not in any way like intimidated by Drew either, which is just like, why would he be? Why would you be intimidated by him? Bad. Just bad. I'm going to wear that word out like the word happy. Just bad. I'm going to say bad a lot. I'm going to have to come up with a lot of synonyms. I should pull up a thesaurus. But this sucked. This was the shits. Ugh, God. All right, so onto the tag team match, I believe it was, that followed this. Yeah. So you had the Street Profits come out, who the Street Profits, once again, they're trying to change up their look. They're trying to change it up just enough, I guess, which is good. I appreciate that they're trying to do that. But still, nonetheless, very green, very shindy. Still, they're baby faces, I believe. Technically, they're supposed to still be baby faces. But you have these two guys come out, and their gimmick is kind of still hip-hop in a way, I guess you could say. Where, you know, so the dude's coming out, he's got braids, fucking, they're doing the whole deal, the red cups and all this shit. And then followed by these two guys comes Randy Orton and fucking Matt Riddle. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle come out, and you're like, all right, here comes frat boy and the California frat boy. And who follows them? Why, of course, Migos. Why wouldn't the rap crew be associated with 40-year-old Jack Dad and Stoner Guy? Not the two guys that are coming out, like I said, with the fucking, with the do-rag on and a hip-hop fucking, you know, feel and motifs to them. No, they come out with Randy Orton and fucking Matt Riddle. So out come Migos, of course, which by the way, it was very nice of Migos to come up with a creative way to let their audience know that they've completely fallen off by having them appear in a WWE show and just not good. So we then proceed to our babyface versus babyface question mark. It's the first team of babyface match, and it is what it is. And the crowd loves Randy. The RK-Bro thing works. The problem is that apparently WWE still has an issue with, at this point, you know, putting their hands up. What is heel? What is face? What is heel? What is face? They have no fucking clue. So you just, once again, are stuck with this weird match where you have two babyface teams facing off against one another. So there's no way for them to really get heat. So it's all reliant on the audience loving Randy, liking Riddle, and caring about Migos. Because you're not going to get any heat from a from a heel babyface team or a babyface heel team. So this thing just, it is what it is. Randy wins with a, you know, a creative RKO because that's what has to happen. And yeah, this is nothing. It's a throwaway match, which if they knew this was what it was going to be, just put a generic heel tag team in there. Put in any generic heel tag team. Like, the Street Profits don't need to be used. And it's just like, well, what did they do? Just roll the dice and said, I guess fucking Street Profits on the show tonight. Use heels. For gimmick matches, use heels and use baby faces. Not difficult. Not fucking difficult at all. So, whatever. Randy wins. And the ball keeps rolling. Next, we're on to Edge versus Miz, which this match was such a nothing burger.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't really know what to even say to you. Like every Edge match since he's been back, there's a bunch of bumps. And it goes on forever. Except this time, Beth Phoenix came out. After Maryse cheated. And that's the whole match. I'm sorry. That's what did I miss anything? Because it's literally just all it was. The Miz, it took a long time. Eventually, the crowd kind of got into it, but not really. This is what happens when you have shows that are incredibly fucking long, and the opener, like I said, is 35 minutes long of guys doing fucking spots, and what is expected to follow is a comedy match, and the people are sitting there looking at their watches going, fuck, I have 5 more fucking matches after this? Jesus Christ. Can we just get Brock out here? Like, that's what these people have to be thinking at this by this time of the night. They must be going, Jesus fucking Christ, can we just see Brock and go the fuck home? Because this sucks. So yeah, this was big fucking nothing burger. Edge, since he has been back, and by the way, everybody knows I like the Miz, I like Maryse, you know, whatever they touch is usually at least interesting. This was not interesting to me. It didn't vibe with me. It didn't work. I don't think it worked, and it is what it is. But all right, so don't worry, guys, we're almost there. Raw Women's Championship. You had Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. Now, I've had a little bit of a you know, back and forth squabble with Mish about this. I don't think Liv Morgan is as bad as people make her out to be. I just don't. When you look at a lot of what's going on in wrestling, and specifically in women's wrestling, especially in WWE, she's just okay. And her just being okay, compounded with the fact that there are a lot of people that really do like her, and the fact there's actually a story there. Like, I'm watching this package after the fucking, you know, boring-ass fucking Miz and Edge match, and they try to tell a story with her. I was the baby in the family. I was the sixth of 6 kids raised by a single mom in New Jersey. And I was shy. Like, I'm like, all right, this is still somewhat more of a story than just throwing her out there and just being like, yeah, look, it's Carmella and she's hot, but we can't say she's hot because that's weird. Because we can't say it, because now everyone will be upset. So at least this is like an attempt at a building something with somebody. So I don't mind it. I go, okay, all right, let's see what she can do. And truthfully, this goes back to, once again, she hasn't been wrestling for that long. 3-4 years maybe at this point. I don't know, maybe 5. I could be rounding up, could be rounding down by a little bit. But most people aren't that good by year 5 even. That's it. It's like WWE and AEW and wrestling in general are taking people who've barely been in the business and they put them on TV and then they go, why aren't they ready? I don't get it. So you just have to hope. Dude, not everybody's fucking Kurt Angle, okay? He's the exception. He's not the rule. Most people need at least, I'd say, 7-8 years, maybe closer to 10, to really actually be good at this shit and to really get it and to be like actively working and with traveling and being around people that can teach them. Not just, you know, sitting in a gym in Florida for a year and a half. Like, that's not it. It's just not how you're going to improve. So Liv and Becky have this match, you know. And, I don't know what to say. I've been a big Becky fan from even back, you know, when she was old, silly, you know, a tropey Irish chick. But Becky and this whole wearing the sunglasses and I'm Hollywood Becky or whatever. She's really, I mean, I know couples start to look alike. That's the saying. And, you know, they start to pick up each other's mannerisms. But Becky is really starting to pick up the stench of Seth in the sense of, do you remember when this chick was pretty likable? Remember that? Man, remember that? Feels like a million fucking years ago now. It feels like it was so long ago. And her coming back and going, I'm going to be a fucking heel. Like, no, please. Like, we're begging you. Be a baby face. You need to be a baby face. Because who are the other people on the show that are going to be a baby face? Women that have been wrestlers for 6 minutes? She comes back. She has a child. She does the whole deal. You know, she fights back. And then they have her come right back and they have her act like an asshole. And then they're like, why doesn't everybody like this asshole? Why doesn't everybody like this person that is a shadow of what they were before? By the way, she looks physically so different that it's sometimes I look at her and I'm like, it doesn't even seem like it's the same person. Like, it sounds like I'm being really fucking mean by saying that because, you know, someone's going to hear that and go, well, you know, women have babies and it changes their body and everything. And I'm not even talking about that. There's just something where, like, I look at her and I feel like I'm getting, like, a fucking weird, like, Xeroxed copy, third generation VHS tape version of Becky Lynch. And I'm not feeling it. And I don't think a lot of people are. And I think that's a part of the problem. When she left, that character, a part of that character went with her and it never came back. So this just was what it was. I mean, Liv, like I said, it's just she's passable. She's okay. This is still now, though, at the point where we are in the night where now everybody, they've sat through multiple matches that were way too long with way too many false finishes that are paced really poorly. And there's really nothing to keep the steam and the enthusiasm up in these shows. There just really isn't because the pacing is done so fucking poorly. That even when it's time for people to, you know, raise back up, which by the way, when we get to the main event, people do start to come alive, but that's the point of it being a fucking main event, right? But this just is what it is. Becky wins. I don't even remember the finish because at this point I was just zoned out because, you know, Becky's winning. No one was sitting there going, Liv Morgan's really going to get it. I would have liked to have seen, I will say this, I would have liked to have seen Liv Morgan have to fight back a little bit more from underneath. I think she needs to really, she can be a good babyface. I really think she can become a really good babyface in that company. The problem is it goes back to, you gotta look strong and you gotta fight and you gotta do this and that and that. My cats are really not agreeable with me doing the show today, by the way. Just wanted to say that. The big one was banging into my leg, and now the little one's singing like fucking Kitney Houston over here. Give it a rest, little Muppet. Give it a rest. All right, so this was not particularly good, but, you know, what are you going to do? All right, so on to the main event here. You have Big E, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, and Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. Brock Lesnar, of course, replacing Roman Reigns, who tested positive for COVID hours ago. So, guys, good news. After the long, lengthy conversation that I'd had on Thursday night talking about COVID and WWE not caring about the protocols and they're not going to truly give a shit and it's going to be what it's going to be, Roman Reigns, who is like somebody that is actively, I mean, he's in remission for leukemia, but still nonetheless, still has it. He now has COVID. Great. So is this what we're going to deal with now for the next 2 or 3 years with Roman Reigns? And I guess the only answer I can give you to that is yes. I mean, that's what this is going to be. COVID's not going anywhere. It's going to become 5 different things probably before we even fucking know it. And all we can hope is that it lessens and it lessens. They find more effective treatments and they come up with some sort of more effective, whatever, boosters, vaccination type shit, whatever it might be. But the reality is that somebody like Roman Reigns, who has a serious pre-existing condition, is probably not going to be able to hang out on the road for fucking as long as WWE would like to going forward. And that's a big problem. And that's a big, big problem. And I know Ziggler fan in the chat room is saying, I hope he's okay. I hope so too. I know that's the priority. The priority should be this guy's health. The priority should be his well-being. But this is what happens also too, when, and this is, you know, unforeseen, and I'm not going to sit here and wag a finger about it because nobody really could have fucking seen COVID coming. You know, this is why you don't put all your eggs in one basket. At this point, Roman is like, they brought Brock back, and we'll get to the finish, but they brought Brock back, and they're like, oh shit, this guy's the only other star that we can have show up on the show. It's really it. And by the way, Brock like still pretty much dwarfs Roman in a lot of respects as far as crowd reaction. So that's, what are they going to do? I mean, really, what are they going to do? This guy, they're going to put, are they going to put Roman Reigns in a bubble? Travel around like fucking Jake Gyllenhaal? Like, what's he going to do, bubble boy it? What do you do with him? Because you can't get this guy fucking sick all the time. And he has to be in every single major city in America for every fucking show because he's the star. He's the main event. He's the guy that you sit there and said, all right, so Roman's got to be Batman, Jesus Christ, Santa Claus, The Undertaker. He's got to go back in time and fuck Genghis Khan. Like, just, this is what you did with him. And now you're in a place where you go, I got fucking nobody else. We got nobody other than Brock. Who Brock ain't getting on a fucking plane unless it's private and there's a check waiting for him and it's probably got 6 or 7 figures written on it. It's got a lot of zeros. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Across the board. So this match was actually one of the only matches on the card that were exactly what it should have been, which was quick. There were a lot of little, you know, shits that happened. You know, everybody kind of got a little bit of something in there. Big E got a little bit of a shit. Seth got a little bit of a shit, mercifully. Kevin Owens got a shit. Lashley got a shit. Short, to the point, and what it should have been when you had 5 guys that were supposed to believe are main eventers. When it's 5 people that you're supposed to believe are some of the best in the company, which is that I can beat your ass in multiple ways, and I can do it quick, and you can lose. Not, I'm going to do 400 moves and look at my 450th fucking... Because to me, if I got to go up to... Dude, if someone's got to go up to you and they got to hit you 100 times before you fall to a knee, that's not somebody you're intimidated by, is it? Really? If somebody... If someone came up to you and they go, I'm going to kick you in the nuts, and you go, please don't kick me in the nuts, and then they kick you in the nuts and you go, oh, it didn't even hurt. That actually didn't hurt at all. And then you're like, go ahead, kick me in the nuts again. And they kick you in the nuts. You're like, well, that really wasn't even, that one was actually not, that was actually better. That tickled a little bit. That was good. I had a little itch. I feel better now. Thank you for kicking me in the nuts for the second time. At some point you go, wow, this is probably not a very tough person. And that's what you get. Once again, still going back to the first fucking match with the Usos and the New Day. It's like, wow, these guys are kind of, are these guys like what? Like, are these guys pussies? Like, why do they need so long to fucking hurt each other? Like this, I don't know. I watch UFC things and these dudes come out with these jar heads from the middle of Russia who look like they, you know, grew up breastfeeding fucking gasoline, and they can get knocked out in 30 seconds. But for some reason, fucking Xavier Woods needs 600 head drops to get fucking held down for 3 seconds. So this match was fast, and it was what it needed to be, I guess you could say. And yeah. Whew, Brock Lesnar won. Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion again. Oh, Big E. Oh, poor Big E. Jesus Christ. By the way, talking about like McDonald's not having to pay attention to what Burger King's doing sometimes and vice versa. Wasn't there a humongous problem yesterday? It's a big internet controversy with Tony Khan and how, you know, Tony Khan's not, you know, pushing any people of color on the show and, you know, this and that. WWE gives such a little shit about what you want or they want or what the people on Twitter want. They saw all that, and I'm sure their PR people saw all that, and they said, yeah, what if we just have Brock Lesnar just beat Big E tonight? They don't give a shit. That's how little a shit that they give in that company. That all of that's going on, where Tony Khan, who, by the way, listen, you can make fun of Tony Khan up and down. There's a lot of things you can goof on the guy about. But if you want to sit there and be like, Tony Khan's got like bad intentions, or Tony Khan is prejudiced or whatever, you sound like a fuck. You sound stupid saying that. You just do. It comes off weird. It comes off to me as very petty. As somebody that could multiple times be accused of being petty for being overly critical, when you look and you go, okay, so Tony Khan has somebody sitting there saying to him, well, why aren't you pushing this person? Why aren't you pushing that person? I'm sorry. This guy just paid millions of dollars to have CM Punk and Daniel Bryan on his show. Who are you going to main event over them? I mean, really, who are you going to put him in a main event with? Think about that. Who are you going to put over those two guys? Even Moxley, when Moxley was, you know, on the show. This guy was just on WWE television, champion, you know, traveling all over the world, main eventing. Who's going to go in there and beat him? Who are you going to have him go? Sometimes for you to be somebody on a show that becomes a big, big star, you got to be the best. I mean, that's it. I get, especially in the past couple of years, when people were like, WWE has like a serious lack of diversity and there's not people on the top of the card. When I'm looking at the card and I'm going, who are you putting? Look at these fucking, pushing some of these guys. They're such losers. They're such fucking bums. Like, I can totally understand why you might sit there and say, yo, give fucking Big E a shot, which I agreed with 1,000%. Hey, Kofi? Yeah, sure. Like, fucking, why Kofi? Bobby Lashley. Dude, could Bobby Lashley get any more jacked and fucking sweet and do better than he ever has in his career? Give Bobby Lashley a go. But when I'm watching the AEW show, and I'm going, CM Punk, who was inarguably one of the fucking hottest names in wrestling of the past 20 years, disappears from the main event scene, disappears from wrestling for half a dozen years and says, I'm going to come back to your company. What are they going to do? What the fuck are they going to do? Are they going to stop and they're going to be like, whoa, wait a second. Sorry, Punk, you're going to have to stand in the back. We got a private party match to have. Like, what? No. Like, this is what people think? They really think that makes fucking sense? Hey, listen, Daniel Bryan, you know, like, dude, you're probably the greatest fucking babyface wrestler in the past, I don't know, almost quarter of a century at this point, but I mean, look at you, buddy. I mean, you're too pasty. We can't do anything with you. Look at you. You're just a little pasty fuck. Like, sorry. It's dumb. It was a dumb fucking thing, and it was a dumb problem. And the fact that it was even taken remotely seriously for 5 minutes, which it will be forgotten about. Don't worry. By the time me and Mish do another show again on Thursday, it'll be a passé topic. No one will care about it. Me and him will probably have to breeze through it because he didn't get to talk about it, and I clearly want him to be able to fucking have his piece about it. If he's even been paying attention, which I don't blame him if he hasn't, but yeah, man, whatever. So Brock Lesnar, WWE champion, day one, brand new, guys, something new for all of you, something you've never seen before. You've never seen the New Day and the Usos fighting for the tag team championship, and you've never seen Brock Lesnar coming in and beating a credible champion in fucking 4 seconds. You've never seen that before. You've only seen it, at this point, I think somewhere between 6,000 and 6,000 times. So this is where WWE is currently. They're going to put on long-winded, boring pay-per-views that don't flow and seldom make sense. They're going to sprinkle in green guys, have face-versus-face tag team gimmick matches. They're going to put people in the main event who, like I said, they know what they're doing for the most part. They get it. But when they steer away from the main event, they'll have them do what like Drew McIntyre does and have them fight a guy that is like 3 inches away from wearing like a beanie hat with the spinner on it and like blowing a pinwheel and have a competitive match with him. So the whole thing doesn't really fucking make sense. And it's going to continue to be this way. And at the very least, just try your best, I guess, to take away what you can from this and be glad that it's an option for you to watch this in your own time and your own pace. Because I can't imagine paying fucking money and going and sitting and watching one of these shows. I couldn't. God bless you. You want to get the fuck out of the house and you want to go do something and you want to just not be at home anymore, even with, you know, half the country shit in their pants and puking up lungs. Good on you, but no thank you. No fucking thank you. And as Ziggler fan says in the chat room, new year, same old shit. Amen to that, brother. All right, guys. So, see, where are we at here? All right, we got a couple fucking... Am I missing anything to talk about this stupid pay-per-view? No. All right. So, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Nice little good consistent crowd hanging in here for me, hanging in for us. Regular Soup will be back sooner than later, guys, sooner before you know it. I'm hoping that you guys enjoyed the show that I did on Thursday. That's posted up on the main feed now. It was on the Patreon for a spell. I got to listen back to it, and I was pretty happy with myself. I felt good. I think I did a good job. Gave myself a little pat on the back for that one. I had fun. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of you here. I don't know if I got the energy for this. I'm more of a, like I said, I'm more of like a 12-minute opener guy than a fucking 3.5 hours, you know, needing a bunch of fucking chain wrestling and headlocks. But I'm going to head out. Thank you once again to everybody. Join the Patreon. Hit that shit up. I know that, you know, January's coming up. A lot of people sick. A lot of people taking time off. But if you want some extra shit, you want to listen to some of the old stuff, go back. $5. You know, it's a good deal. I think most people know the business model at this point for Patreon. Other than that, like I said, on Thursday, shout out to all the usual guys, the usual podcasts we're plugging, all of the friends and family of the show, and fuck, I don't know. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Now the cats are asleep. Now they're good. Now they're asleep. Now that I'm ready to be done, now they want to go to bed. All right, everybody get some rest. Happy New Year to everybody. Once again, I get to say it last show. Happy fucking New Year, all right? 2022, day one, good shit, but not really. Pissed everybody.